This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday, an absolutely wonderful Monday. We're going to talk about capping credit card interest rates this hour. We're going to talk about my poor decision making. I'll get to emails. Hopefully, I'll get to your sock emails. All that and so much more still to come this hour. But you know what time it is. It is the start of hour two on Monday, and that means it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. Every time somebody has ever earned a Medal of Honor in this country, they write up a citation for them. Those citations are available for everyone for free. Not just one, multiple internet sites. Multiple sites on the internet will tell you, hey, this guy, you can sort it by conflict, by branch, Marines, Navy, Army. It is amazing the database of heroes that is out there that's available for free for you and me. Now, this is a story that if you've watched the movie We Were Soldiers, or if you read the book We Were Soldiers Once and Young, that's the name of the book, you're aware of this. In case you are not aware of Ed W. Freeman, or at least aware of the bravery of it, let me explain something about helicopters in Vietnam. Vietnam brought about a brand new kind of warfare. Yes, we use helicopters in Korea, by the way, but Vietnam was the one where they were really central to the war. And the idea was simple. Take the men, take the equipment you need, fly a fleet of helicopters into where you're going, drop them off, and then when you need to bring them out, or when there are wounded you need to evacuate, or the men you brought in need ammo or food or water, you send the helos back in. This is kind of one of those things. We're at the stage now, especially we recently had that thing in Venezuela, helicopters flying through Caracas, and now it's just kind of old hat for us. Well, yeah, helos do this, helos do that. But this was relatively new in Vietnam. At least using them at that scale was brand new. But there's something you always need to keep in mind. An AK-47. Have you ever looked at an AK-47 round, the round it shoots? It's a 7.62 round, but don't worry about that number if you don't know guns or whatnot. Don't worry about that. But I would encourage you, if you're not driving right now, to look up a 7.62 round. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Army, they shot AK-47s mainly, but they also had bigger weapons, anti-aircraft weapons, all kinds of things like that. So that AK-47 round you're looking at, that's as small as they got. Do you have any idea how much damage one of those rounds does to the human body? If it hits you, you don't even want to know. It doesn't have to be in your heart. If you take an AK-47 round to the bone somewhere, your forearm, that bone is destroyed, shattered. If you had on a flak jacket, a bulletproof vest, and let's say the bulletproof vest actually stopped the AK-47 round from killing you, and it hit you anywhere in the abdomen, did you know you will most likely have broken ribs? That's how heavy and hard that round hits. And I want to stress that that is the smallest round that was shot by the Vietnamese Army at the time. The helicopters, the helicopter pilots, the helicopter crewmen, were some of the most insanely brave human beings in Vietnam, because the enemy wasn't stupid. The enemy was very, very crafty, and it took him about half a second to figure out what our war plan was. It took him half a second to figure out those helicopters, that's their lifeline. That's bringing in troops and food and ammo, and it's bringing out the wounded. We don't have to kill the masses of men on the ground first. Kill the helos and everyone dies. They knew it. And so when I read this, keep in mind, we're not talking about bulletproof helicopters here. We're talking about helicopters with rounds going through them like a blowtorch through butter. So, out of Neely, Mississippi, born in 1927, Neely, Mississippi, here's the Medal of Honor citation for an Ed W. Freeman.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Captain Ed W. Freeman, United States Army, distinguished himself by numerous acts of conspicuous gallantry and extraordinary intrepidity on the 14th of November, 1965, while serving with Company A, 229th Assault Helicopter Battalion, 1st Cavalry Division. Pause for a moment on the citation. This is, as I said, it's the story of We Were Soldiers, but if you don't know, just know that we flew in a fairly large army unit. This army unit landed at the base of a jungled mountain. But in that jungled mountain were several times more North Vietnamese than the army unit that landed, far from home, and they have nobody but the helicopters. Back to the citation. As a flight leader and second in command of a 16 helicopter lift unit, he supported a heavily engaged American infantry battalion at Landing Zone X-Ray in the I Drang Valley, Republic of Vietnam. Their infantry unit was almost out of ammunition after taking some of the heaviest casualties of the war, fighting off relentless attack from a highly motivated, heavily armed enemy force. When the infantry commander closed the helicopter landing zone due to intense direct enemy fire, Captain Freeman risked his own life by flying his unarmed helicopter through a gauntlet of enemy fire time after time, delivering critically needed ammunition, water, and medical supplies to the besieged battalion. His flights had a direct impact on the battle's outcome by providing the engaged units with timely supplies of ammunition critical to their survival, without which they almost would surely have experienced a much greater loss of life. After medical evacuation helicopters refused to fly into the area due to intense enemy fire, Captain Freeman flew 14 separate rescue missions, providing life-saving evacuation of an estimated 30 seriously wounded soldiers, some of whom would not have survived had he not acted. All flights were made into a small emergency landing zone within 100 to 200 meters of the defensive perimeter where heavily committed units were perilously holding off the attacking elements. Captain Freeman's selfless acts of great valor, extraordinary perseverance, and intrepidity were far above and beyond the call of duty or mission, and yet set a superb example of leadership and courage for all his peers. Captain Freeman's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. And I will simply cap this little story with this. I've read more Vietnam books than I can possibly count of different units, Army units, Marine units, MACV, SOG units, long distance reconnaissance units. That helicopter sound for those guys when they were besieged behind enemy lines, when they were surrounded, that helicopter sound was the greatest moment of their lives. And vice versa, because these stories are out there. There are plenty of them. Every helicopter pilot wasn't Ed W. Freeman. Helicopters that got close and then simply took off because the danger was too great. To hear the emotions of the guys on the ground as the helo leaves, you want to cry into the book you're reading. They feel like, well, that's it. I'm going to die now. That was my one lifeline. my one chance to get myself out. My buddy, he's gut shot. He's bleeding out. I need him on. That was his one chance. That helicopter is gone. They were not all Ed W. Freeman, but there were many, many, many insanely brave helicopter pilots in Vietnam. If you have one in your family, maybe you don't realize that. No, he wasn't a Green Beret. Maybe you don't realize the things that guy did. May I simply suggest ask him about his time in Vietnam? Maybe it's been long enough that he'll feel comfortable talking about it. You might have a genuine American hero in your family, and we don't have much longer with our Vietnam vets. They're getting old, all right? All right. Now I'm going to make you mad. Let's talk about credit card debt. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. I know I said we were going to talk about caps on credit card debt, but you're going to have to hold off on that for a second because I have a guilty conscience, and I just want to let you know what a terrible failure I am from time to time. So here's what happened. Maybe this will be inspiring to you to not be like me, but here's what happened. I've told you, I know it's lame, don't make fun of me, that I'm trying to make 2026 the healthiest year of my life. Why are you already laughing, Chris? How do you think this makes me feel? It's not gay. What, Chris, it is not. Anyway, we're going to ignore Chris. I'm going to try to make it the healthiest year of my life. And so little steps, okay? I'm not op. I'm not eating lettuce all day. Little steps. I have joked before about fasting for 2 hours or 3 hours. But on occasion, I do fast on Mondays. I'll eat dinner on Sunday, and my next meal will be dinner on Monday. I can't sit and tell you about the science of it because I don't know. I know that fitness guys I talk to and I'm friends with tell me it's great to reset your body. It's great for your blood sugar. It's great to burn up fat. I just keep hearing it's great. So it's not all the time. I'm not a monk. It's one day a week. Today, I wake up messing around with Aub in the house, and I tell her, you know, I think I'm going to fast today until dinner. Aub has this dinner plan. She's making this garlic chicken pasta heavenly stuff. I say, you know, I think I'm going to fast until dinner. Well, I have to go get my hair cut. I go get my hair cut before work. Shut up, Chris. You know, there's more to it than you think. I have to go get my hair cut before work. Get my hair cut. I'm on the way to work. There's an In-N-Out burger on the way to work. No, Chris, listen, let me finish the story. I decide, you know what? No. If you're going to break your fast early, because I was really hungry, at least don't let it be In-N-Out burger. Don't go all in, all right? Don't go all in. So, I'm proud of this. I drove right by the In-N-Out burger. But then, temptation sometimes is too much. Sometimes if you're not strong enough, temptation can bring you down. I pass In-N-Out burger, but what's coming up in the distance on the way to work? A Torchy's Tacos. I don't expect you to know what Torchy's Tacos is. If you're in Texas, you definitely know what it is. If you're not, just know that they have things like fried chicken tacos that have queso poured in them. Okay, it's just amazing. There's a Torchy's Tacos coming up. And I break. I decide I'm going into Torchy's Tacos, but I'm not going to go all in. My normal all-in order at Torchy's Tacos is two of those fried chicken tacos with queso in them. Then I get chips and queso. And then I get a Mexican Coke to wash it down with. That's my normal go-to order at Torchy's. But I'm fasting and I'm having a healthier 2026. So not today. On the way to Torchy's, once I make the commitment that I'm going, I decide, you know what? I'm getting one taco instead of two today. I'll get my chips and queso, but I'll get one taco, chips and queso, and a water. Just going to get a water. Going to hydrate with all of it. That's Why are you rubbing your head, Chris? That's half of what I normally do. But then by the time I pulled in, I was really hungry. And I decided that one taco probably wasn't going to be enough. So I know, Chris, the flesh is weak. I walk into Torchy's Tacos and I go up and I'm ordering and I got the two tacos and I got the queso. And then they had the Cokes in one of those clear fridges right right behind the cash register. They had the clear Cokes right there behind the cash register. And I got a Mexican Coke too. And it's not just that I got all the tacos and the queso and the Coke. I ate every single bite. And I drank every single drop of the Coke. I wanted today to be a success. I really, truly wanted it. I could, and you know what? I felt like it was going to be. I felt like today's going to be my day. It wasn't. I failed. But tomorrow's a new day. We shall try again. Maybe I'll fast again tomorrow, Chris. Hey, I did skip breakfast. Let's be honest. I skipped breakfast. Burning fat. Here was Trump talking about credit card debt.
I want a cap on credit card interest rates. Because, you know, some of them are 28, almost 30%. And that people don't know they're paying 30%. The people out there, you know, they're working, and they have no idea that they're paying 30%. No way. We're putting a one-year cap at 10%, and that's it. They know it. They've really abused the public. The credit card companies have totally abused it. I'm not going to let it happen.
Okay. All right. So what I'm about to say is going to be insanely offensive, potentially, to you. It is important to remember, jesse@jessekellyshow.com is my email address, but it is critically important that you remember that I don't care if you're offended, all right? It doesn't matter to me at all, because what I'm about to say is my intention is to help you, not hurt you. My intention is to help. It may not come across very nicely, but I'm going to give it to you. You ready? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful, wonderful Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, it's time to offend some people. Here is Trump.
I want a cap on credit card interest rates, because, you know, some of them are 28, almost 30%. And that people don't know they're paying 30%. The people out there, you know, they're working, and they have no idea that they're paying 30%. No way. We're putting a one-year cap at 10%, and that's it. They know it. They've really abused the public. The credit card companies have totally abused it. I'm not going to let it happen.
Okay. Now, I am not going to defend the credit card companies. So if you're waiting for that, you're going to be waiting a long time. And I'm certainly not going to defend 30% interest. 30% interest is insane. Ripping people off for 30% is crazy. However, you should be paying off your credit card every month. You should never carry a balance on your credit card. If you find yourself in dire straits, vehicle bills, medical bills, home bills, something like that, find someone else, a local bank, you have a relationship, someone who will loan you money at single-digit interest rates. Don't freak out. I need a new transmission, and put it on your Visa card. Don't do that. You never get out of 30%. That's mafia rates. I'm not defending the rates. I'm not defending credit card companies at all. But let's discuss how this works economically. I'm going to put a cap on it at 10%. All right. Let's stick with Visa, because that's a big one everyone will know. Visa. I'm Visa. I'm going to make up a bunch of numbers here, okay? Just to make it easier to understand. I'm Visa. I make $100 million a year. They obviously make a lot more than that. Again, I'm going to try to make it easy to understand. I make $100 million a year. That's what I make in Visa. Now, what do I give back to customers in order to incentivize them to get a Visa card. Because I don't want them to have a MasterCard. I don't want them to have an American Express card or a Discover card. I want them to have a Visa card. Well, in order for them to get a Visa card or choose a Visa card over other cards, I have to present them with something. So what does every single credit card company do now? Every one of them, you see it all over the television set, every day, all day. What do they give you? They give you something back. Maybe it's cash back. Maybe you have an airline credit card. I looked up one over the weekend, just kind of curious about them. United has all these United Visa cards where you can get a free first class ticket a year, or free access to the United Lounge, or free the free hotel upgrades. They're giving you, giving the customer something back. It's always small, but something back to incentivize you to choose them. Now, how do they give it back? Because we all know nobody gives anything. Well, in order for the United Visa card to give me and my wife, I don't have one of these, but in order for United to give me and my wife free first class tickets every year, well, they have to make money. But they don't make money on me, because I got my first credit card when I was 15. Yes, back in the day, you could get a credit card if your parents co-signed at that age, because my parents wanted me to start building credit. And so I'm coming up on 30 years. Well, yeah, 30 years where they've never made a dime on me. I pay mine off every month. So if they don't make money on me, how do they make money? They make money on all those buffoons who pay 30% interest because they don't pay off their credit card every single month. Now, pause for a moment. If this is you, I want you to understand something. I have known people in my life who buried themselves in credit card debt. And I've known people who have clawed their way out and never did it again. If it is you, if you've made these bad decisions, you can get out of it. It will take time. There are things, there are steps you can take, but I promise you can get out of it. Just because you did something dumb in the past doesn't mean it have to continue. So keep that in mind. You can get out of it. Now, back to what we were discussing. It's the people paying the 30% that allow the credit card companies to give anything back to anyone. So what happens if I'm Visa? I make $100 million a year, and now the all-powerful federal government comes in and says, you're not allowed to charge those interest rates. We can skip over a bunch of other steps, but let me explain to you what's going to happen. Normal people with normal credit will no longer have access to credit cards, and or the interest will eventually go up because he said we're going to cap it the first year. Visa still has to make its $100 million, you see. It's a for-profit corporation. They're not going to change that. The federal government, any government, putting in price controls, always, 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 burn this into your memory, 1,000% of the time, the price controls will hurt the poor. The price controls always hurt the people. They're sold as trying to help. This is the, well, they don't know any better. People don't know. They work. They're paying 30%. You know what they're going to know? When they don't get a credit card at all. My credit score is over 800. It's not because I have money. It's because I pay off my bills every single month, and I always have for 44 years on this planet. No matter what, I'm going to have a credit card. Credit card companies are going to compete for me. Credit card companies are going to offer me new and improved benefits because they want my business forever. But that person with a 650, maybe that's you, person with a 600, the credit card companies are going to say, I have to take a risk with you, and I only get to charge 10%? Sorry. You don't get a credit card. Or they'll tell you this. Yeah, no. We'll give you a credit card. Congratulations. $1,000 annual fee is what it's going to cost you to take our credit card. You know that credit card you get for free now? You ready to pay $1,000 for it next year? I understand the thinking in the Trump administration. And in fact, I actually want to applaud the motivation behind it. At least you're attempting to help working people. I like the idea of helping working people. Price controls do not work. They have never worked. They will never work at all. And I hate credit card companies. 30% is robbery. Don't pay them that. Either don't get a credit card, or if you get one, pay it off every single month. If you are buried in credit card debt, find a smart way. Go into your local bank. Don't call one of these ripoff phone numbers. Go into a local bank. Say, here's where I am. I'm maxed out here, maxed out there. What can you do? You may find yourself with a 6% interest loan from your local bank. Credit cards paid off. You eventually pay that off. You're free and clear and done. But don't pay 30% interest. And the solution for that is not the federal government putting a cap on it. It's only going to make the whole crappy industry even crappier somehow. And don't send me your freaking emails about you don't understand. I got a frozen pizza for Christmas one year. Don't tell me I don't understand what it's like. I know exactly what it's freaking like. I know exactly what it's like. Yeah, but we're not changing a national policy that'll wipe it out for 300 million people because you're tranny blue. I'm sorry. Ridiculous. Crazy. Stupid populist crap. Let's set that aside. Just go deport some more people and arrest FBI agents. We'll do some emails next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, since this idiot got herself shot by ICE, this guy says, all I hear from the right are qualifiers. This is a tragedy. No one wants to see anyone killed, etc. Forget that. She got exactly what she deserved. So on and so forth. Okay. That's your take on it. And I understand that. We're sick and tired of the communist street animals. I get that. Well, I'll tell you something. I feel bad for people in prison. Look, I got this email. Jesse, I'm Mexican. I just got out of prison doing 10 years, but I read so much history and real history. I listened to you for years. I became a patriot of America. Yes, I was deported, but I understand I lost the privilege I had in the best country in the world, so on and so forth. I have a heart for people in prison. And you know why? Because I had two parents. Not perfect, like no parents are perfect, but I had two wonderful parents. They taught me right and wrong. They taught me, my dad, you know why I know about credit cards and credit card debt? Because my dad taught me well about finances and money. Everybody didn't have that. Why do I speak so harshly on the subject? Because sometimes I have to be America's daddy. I understand that. But lots of people in prison, they didn't have that. Come from broken, busted up homes, crappy families, no one to guide them, fall in with the wrong crowd, wrong influence. And I know that makes me sound like a flowery lefty or something. It's not that. I believe you should do your time if you commit crimes. No problem with that. And if you're one of these violent people, hurt women, murderers, just bury them under the prison. I don't care about that. But I have a heart for people in prison because life is imperfect, extremely imperfect. That 37-year-old woman is dead. She made all the wrong choices, and it's her fault. I'm not blaming someone else. However, have you seen a picture of that woman? Not the one they keep putting up in the media that make her look like a normal suburban housewife. I mean the real woman. The lesed out, bug-eyed freak that was there later on in life. Have you seen her? A real picture of her? Does that woman seem like she's mentally stable? That is a human being who is probably already messed up inside anyway and had, I am sure, a variety of outside influences that made her mental illness so much worse. That is a woman who goes home at night and listens to stuff like this on TV.
But the gun thing, the fact that she was shot like this for what? Almost hitting this agent? I mean, the fact that guns were used and she was shot and killed in this way, to me, is the most horrifying part. Why does an ICE agent have a gun?
Why does an ICE agent have a gun? That's a ridiculous statement to me and to you. But if you're already mentally broken, probably stupid, and you consume that stuff all day, every day, you can end up making choices that get you killed, and I think that's sad. I think it's, look, what I told you, we went to New York City for Christmas, and because we don't feel like we'll probably be back, because they're going to destroy that place really quickly. It's already been going downhill. Do you not feel pity for the homeless, drugged out guy tweaking right by you on the sidewalk? I do. It was cold there. We're walking back. We all went out and got a nice meal Christmas Eve night. We wanted to have a nice Christmas Eve meal. We all went out and we were walking back to the hotel, just walking down the sidewalk. And there's some guy freezing cold. It was, I think it was 20 degrees, something like that. It's cold. Wind was blowing. Homeless guy laying on a piece of cardboard on the sidewalk with everything he owned wrapped up around him. Cold, crazy, drugged out. Do you not have a heart for that person? I do. I can't fix him. I'm probably not even going to give him a 20 because I know where it's going to go, but I have a heart for that guy. I don't want to see anybody killed. I don't want to see communist street animals killed. I want to see communist street animals woken up. Remember that they're in a cult. They are in a cult and they're deep in it. And it's hard to pull someone out of a cult. And you can tell because they're all still pushing this lie, right? She didn't drive it. They're pushing lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And look, they get the lies from the news.
Yeah, Renee Nicole Good, as you hear her say, she's not mad. She's sitting in her car, peacefully waving cars to get by.
Peacefully waving cars to get by. You can show the communist videos, the street communists. You can show them a video of what actually happened, but they will still deny it. And you know why they'll deny it? Because if they admit the truth of this one thing, this one story, there'll be another scandal this week. You know, it's only Monday. I promise you, we'll be moved on by Tuesday or Wednesday. There'll be another scandal. If you were to show them the truth of this one story, it's not that it would just kind of pour cool water all over their lies of this one story. It destroys their entire religion. They are in a religion. They are deep inside of a cult. We want them out of it. We don't want them killed. But hey, look, this is not blaming the ICE officer. Somebody drives at you in a car, you're going to die. Bad decisions lead to bad decisions lead to bad decisions, and those bad decisions can eventually end up with you getting killed. It's her fault she got killed. Her and her wife's fault. Drive, baby, drive. That's what her lesbian wife was saying to her. And now she's dead. And I think that's insanely sad. Not just that she's dead. I think it's insanely sad that you can be that mentally broken, that broken, that shattered mentally, that you would find yourself even parked in front of an ICE agent, let alone hammering on the gas with one inside, with one in front of you. That is freaking horrible. I think it's tragic. I don't want anyone to die. I think it's tragic. I want them to wake up. She got herself killed. That's terrible. I still would rather she just woke up rather than die. I'd rather you switch to Peer Talk too, by the way. I mentioned earlier in the show about how all this stuff is funded, organized and funded. Corporate America funds it too. Don't ever, ever, ever forget when police departments across the country were being gutted and destroyed. They're still gutted to this day. It was corporate America paying for the street animals to do it. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they're the ones who did it. Are you still paying them for it? Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk hires Americans. Pure Talk's CEO is a Vietnam veteran. And Pure Talk will have you paying way less. We switched from T-Mobile. We're pocketing cash right and left. Half. Our bill got cut in half. If you join now, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Here's what you do. You pick up your cell phone. You dial #250 and you say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right? We still have an hour. We'll beat inflation next.